We talk a lot about the Bible on this podcast, but if you're someone who hasn't read the Bible for yourself before, or if you're someone who wants to go deeper, it can be really helpful to have a Bible study guide to follow. Yarrow Bible Studies can help you grow in your relationship with God and find answers to the questions that are on your mind. Yarrow Studies are very visually inviting, and they give you space for reflection at the same time as guiding you through the Bible so you can know what it says and what it means for your actual life. No matter where you're coming from or what season of life you're in, Yarrow is the Bible study guide that will help you unearth the truth of Scripture so it can take root in your heart and inspire you to go deeper in your relationship with God. Yarrow offers beautifully designed inductive Bible studies and a free digital app. If you're looking for a place to start with Yarrow Studies, why not grab a copy of their first study, Known, which is all about identity in Christ. You can shop at yarrow.org now and save 10% off with the code ConfrontingChristianity10. You're listening to a bonus Christmas episode of the Confronting Christianity podcast. The first person ever to hear the good news about Jesus was a low-income teenage girl from a podunk town. She had the most common name for Jewish girls of her time and place. She was just another Mary. But then, an angel showed up. Now, when we hear angel, we tend to imagine a fairy, only bigger. Take the fairy on top of the Christmas tree, make it Christmas tree-sized, and bingo, that's an angel. But angels in the Bible are the opposite of fairy cute. They're terrifying messengers of God who almost always have to tell us humans not to be afraid. This angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This was extraordinary news. The Jews had been living under foreign rule for centuries. They'd been kicked around like a soccer ball between various empires, and currently the Romans had possession of them. But God had promised he would one day send an everlasting king to rescue them. The angel's message to Mary was this: that king is going to be your son. His name is Jesus. Mary has a reasonable question: how will this be since I'm a virgin? She was engaged to a guy named Joseph, but they weren't yet married. Perhaps he'd be the dad, but then the angel has a second shock for her. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born would be called Holy, the Son of God." This message was outrageous. Stories were told of Greek and Roman so-called gods impregnating human women, but the God of the Jews was nothing like these pagan deities. He was utterly transcendent, the one true maker of all things, the God who simply is, and yet he chose to take on flesh and grow in Mary's womb. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, okay, all this talk about angels was unbelievable enough. Now you're asking me to seriously believe that a virgin got pregnant? That just seems like the stuff of fairy tales. If that's what you're thinking, I get it. So did Mary. From what we can tell from piecing together Luke's Gospel's account with the account in Matthew's Gospel, Mary didn't tell Joseph about the visit from the angel, or if she did, he didn't believe her. You can imagine the conversation. "So, Joseph, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is I'm pregnant, and as you know, you're not the father. The good news is that I didn't sleep with any other guy. The baby was conceived in my womb by the Holy Spirit of God." It doesn't sound very convincing, does it? Thankfully, God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream to explain to him what had happened. But even if these first century Jewish peasants were gullible enough to believe that God had made a virgin pregnant, is that something we can seriously be expected to believe today? Like, actually believe, not just suspend our disbelief for a bit over Christmas so we could all enjoy the fairy tale? Perhaps you'd say you believe that there is a God, but the idea of a virgin giving birth is a supernatural bridge too far for you. If so, I get that. But if you think about it, if there is a God who made the stars and the galaxies and the earth and every human being who has ever lived, then it's not irrational or gullible to think that he might have made one human being in a quite unusual way. In fact, it would be like saying to Simone Biles, "I know you're the greatest gymnast of all time, but I bet you can't do a somersault." When Jesus was born, we might have thought that God's promised king would live in luxury. Instead, he was laid in an animal feeding trough. We might have thought this baby would be seen as royalty, but instead the Roman-sanctioned king of the Jews tried to kill him. We might have thought that this long-promised, everlasting king from God had come to be served, but Jesus said he'd come to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mary was there at the beginning, when she first heard that Jesus was God's promised king. She was also there at the end, when Jesus hung upon a Roman cross with a sign above his head that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Her own beloved son, on whom her God-sent hopes were pinned, now nailed to a cross. The son whose cries she'd once soothed with her milk, now crying out to his father in his agony. The son she'd wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, now wrapped in burial clothes and laid in a tomb. What a crushing of all her hopes and dreams. But then, another Mary went to Jesus' tomb, and it was empty. And as she stood there weeping, Jesus met her and said, "Mary." And when she heard her overcommon name, she recognized him. Jesus, the Lord, reborn from his tomb, just as he'd once been born from that first Mary's womb. Why? Why would the God of all the universe become a man? Why would he live in poverty and die in agony? Why would the King of all creation come not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many? Why? Because of love. Because of love for you and me. Because we've turned our backs on him and come under God's judgment for our sin, he came to take that judgment on himself. The Son of God was born to die so you and I could live as sons and daughters of God, wrapped up more tightly in his love than he was wrapped up in those swaddling clothes. Mary of Nazareth was a no-name girl from a podunk town. If you feel insignificant today, open yourself up to Jesus and know that you were worth the birth and life and death and resurrection of the Son of God himself. The King of all the universe is reaching out in love for you, and his name is Jesus.